Hello and very welcome to my Simply Patent podcast. My name is Friederike Stephan. I'm a German patent assessor and a European patent attorney, and it is my mission to make the complex world of patents understandable. I'm very happy that you're here today and I wish you a lot of fun with this episode. Hello, I'm very happy that you're here because today I'm talking about a very interesting topic. We are just before a very large transition in the European patent law. Never before we had such a big change in the system, and I think it's very important to get to know a little bit of the basics in order to know how it will influence your patent strategy and how you can use it for yourself. Before I can explain you the new system, I want to explain you the old system very quickly because I already mentioned it in the last episode. If you didn't listen to it yet, then I recommend you to do it. But as a summary, the old system, the system which we are using until now, the current system, was born from the idea that we would like to simplify the application and granting process. So at the moment we have a centralized application and granting process at the European Patent Office, but after the grant, when you get a grant, you need to validate your patent in order that it becomes valid in the different countries. So you need to select the countries you want to have, the countries where your patent should be valid in, and then you need to comply with the national rules of these countries. You need to pay fees for each country, you need to maybe file some translations, you maybe need a national patent attorney, all of those things which are quite time consuming, quite a lot of effort and some money, of course. And what happens if a competitor wants to kill your patent? Then he needs to go to all of the different countries in order to go to the national offices, to the national authorities, and to kill your patent in each country separately. Also, this is a lot of effort. So the idea was there, and the idea has been there for a lot of time, that we not only want a centralized application and granting process, but also a centralized post-granting process. And this is what the unitary patent is all about. And by the way, there is an exception if we are talking about attacking a patent, and this is the opposition. You can attack a just granted patent centrally 9 months after the grant at the European Patent Office, and it will be revoked centrally by means of an opposition. But let's say we are out of these 9 months, then we only have the opportunity to attack individually in each country if we don't want to have the protective right there. Okay, so the primary objective of the unitary patent is to complement the centralized pre-grant procedure with the centralized post-grant procedure, in which the EPO, the European Patent Office, acts as the universal point of contact for unitary patents in terms of obtaining, maintaining, and administering these patents. And as I said, this idea is not new. Actually, this idea was discussed by all of the European countries for many, many years. There were lots of obstacles in the way. There were lots of difficulties that needed to be solved. For example, the question of how a centralized court could also look like. If we have a patent which is valid in all the countries from the start of the grant, and it can be attacked also centrally in all the countries at once, then we need a centralized court which is watching over that. And the other question was, in what languages should this unitary patent be translated? And there was a lot of discussion, especially with Italy and with Spain, because they wanted their languages to be one of the translation languages. But the other countries were not that happy with this, and they discussed a lot. And in the end, Spain is out, like they are not participating in the new system. And Italy later on decided to participate, even though Italian will not be one of the translating languages. The discussion about a unitary patent started already in the 1970s and has been going on until now. But now we are just before the start of the new system. So it's really exciting times in the patent world right now. OK, Okay, how does the new system look like? As I already said, it's a centralized post-granting system, and the unitary pattern has a unitary character, which means that it provides unitary protection and has an equal effect in all the participating member states. It can be limited, transferred, or declared invalid or lapse only with respect to all participating member states. However, it can be licensed with respect to all or just also a part of the territories of the participating member states. The unitary patent protection can be requested for any European patent granted on or after the start of the new system. Now, if there's a unitary patent, who decides whether there's an infringement in one or more of the countries, and where can you go if you want one of those patents out of your way? For that, you have to currently file infringement actions or nullity actions in the national courts, as I said before. For the unitary patents, there will be a centralized way of attacking it and also to file infringement suits. And this will be in a new court which will be established, which is the Unitary Patent Court. And as I said, we are just before the start of the new system. There's one ratification missing of Germany, actually. And once Germany has been ratifying the contract, there will be a sunrise period of 3 months. And after these 3 months, the new system is starting. We are expecting that the new system starts around the end of the year 2022 or the beginning of the year 2023. From the start of the new system, we have a transition period of 7 years, which can be extended for another 7 years. And during this transition period, different things apply than after the transition period. So there are some special rules during this transition period. And also, you can use the old system and the new system somehow in parallel, and you can select what you want to use. How is it about the member states now? I said already in my last episode that in the EPC, the European Patent Convention, the member states do not necessarily be also the member states of the EU. For example, Turkey is also a member state of the European Patent Convention, but is not a member of the European Union. For the new system, it will be different. All the member states for the new system, for the unitary patent, need also to be member states of the European Union. Each member state of the European Union can decide to be a participant of this new system. When the new system starts, there will be at least 17 states which already ratified and which will be part of the whole thing. There are a couple of member states which are still in the process and which can enter the system also at a later stage. To give you a little bit of an idea of what member states will participate, Great Britain, for example, is no longer an European Union member, so it's not participating in the unitary patent system and can only be reached by the old system where you need to validate for Great Britain. Spain will not participate because of the language regulation, and Croatia, for example, will also not participate until now. But larger states like France or Italy and Germany, they are participating in the new system. If you get a unitary patent, then your patent will automatically be valid in all of those member states. You will not need to validate your patent in all of those countries. You pay one fee and then it will be valid in all of those member states which are participating. When I read about all of this and when I learned about all of this, I was asking myself the question, okay, so if I get a unitary patent now and then I also want protection in Great Britain, for example, which is not participating, how can I reach them? And that's a really cool thing, that you can combine the new system with the old system. So let's say it's this case that you have a unitary patent and then you also want to reach Great Britain, then you will apply for the unitary patent and then also additionally validate your patent in Great Britain. For Great Britain, you need to pay an extra fee and you need to comply with the local rules, but it is really cool that you can still also reach those countries, like for example also Spain. And then the other question came to my mind, what is happening with the countries which are not participating at the moment, but will maybe participate at a later stage? Let's say Croatia, I just mentioned it. They are not participating at the moment when the new system will start, But what if in 5 years they are going to participate? What's with the reach, with the territorial reach, protection reach of my patent? Is it going to enlarge to Croatia? And this is unfortunately not the case, because the competitors, the ones which are looking out for possible infringements, they need to trust the territorial reach. And so you cannot just enlarge the territorial protection only because another country is entering the system. This means that there will be different generations of unitary patents. And I know this makes it not easier. So let's say these 17 countries, which I just mentioned, they are participating from the beginning of 2023, and I will get a unitary patent for that. Then 5 years later, there will be another country entering as a participant. Then this is the second generation, and this will be having another territorial reach as a unitary patent, which I get at the very beginning with the 17 participating countries. As I said, it's not going to get easier with this, but fortunately, the European Patent Register will state very clearly in which jurisdictions the patent will be valid and what territorial reach it will have. Okay, now I want to have a look with you at the Unitary Patent Court. How can this look like? Or how it will look like? There will be a first instance which will have a central chamber, local chambers, and at least one regional chamber. The central chamber will be in Paris and Munich, and originally it should have been in London, but since Great Britain is now out of the system due to the Brexit, the Italian government has proposed Milan as a replacement location. But I think at the moment they are still in discussion and nothing has been decided yet. Additionally, each member state can decide that they want to establish a local chamber. And for example, Austria, Belgium, Finland, Germany, Italy, they all decided already to establish a local chamber. In Germany, we will have the most local chambers, which will be in Düsseldorf, Hamburg, Mannheim, and Munich. And maybe you know it already, these courts are already the courts which are having a lot of experience with infringement actions. So that's why they were chosen to be part of the Unitary Patent Court as well. What's also possible is that some countries are joining together to form a regional chamber. And Lithuania, Estonia, Latvia, and Sweden have, for example, joined to form the Nordic-Baltic Regional Chamber. This will be the only regional chamber up to now, but of course there's a possibility that there will be more regional chambers in the future. We also have a Court of Appeal, which will be in Luxembourg. And if applicable, the European Court of Justice can also jump in and clarify some questions, but only about basic questions of the law of the European Union. Good, now I think we know a little bit of the basics, what the unitary patent will be, how it will look like very roughly, and I want to talk a little bit about the advantages and disadvantages now. Up to now in the old system, so to say, you needed after grant to pay the annual fees, the renewal fees each year to the different national authorities if you wanted to keep your patent. With the unitary patent, it's different because you will pay just one annual fee, just one renewal fee each year centrally to the European Patent Office. And the European Patent Office will then distribute the money to the different member states. This eliminates quite a bit of the administrative burden that you needed to do in order to remember the different fees and the different times when to pay the annual fee. In addition, it's very easy to get the unitary patent because you just need one single act and to apply for it. And before it was that you needed to validate your patent and you needed to do all of the validation actions in all the different countries. So here now, one single action and you get your unitary patent. Also an advantage is that if you are the patent owner, that you can file an infringement suit centrally at the unitary patent court, and with this, cover all the different countries which are participating. Before, you needed to file infringement suits in all the different countries separately. Of course, this can also be a disadvantage on the other side for you as a patent owner, because you can not only file a central infringement suit, but also your patent can be centrally attacked and killed before the Unitary Patent Court. And very important to know is that the Unitary Patent Court will be automatically responsible for the European patents which you got until now, which you got from the old system. So very important now, all the patents, the European patents which you have until now, they can be centrally killed before the Unitary Patent Court once the new system started. And if this is scary for you right now, I think that you are not alone. There will be lots of people who are scared by this thought, but there is something that you can do about it. And this is that you can already before the start of the new system declare to the Unitary Patent Court that you want to opt out of this. And then the Unitary Patent Court will not be responsible for your European patents and they cannot be revoked in a central way. So at this point, maybe you can already think about it a little bit, if you want this or not, if you want to file an opt-out, if it's okay for you to stay in. But now you have the chance to file this opt-out before the new system starts at the beginning of the next year. But coming back to the disadvantages, you can also check about the costs, because it could be more expensive for you to get a unitary patent instead of the national validations. If you only validated very few countries up to now, let's say less than 4, then it may be less expensive for you if you're staying with the old system. If you already validated lots of countries, then it can make sense for you to get unitary patents from now on. This is the first episode about the unitary patent. I will make another episode where I'm going a little bit more into the practical details, where I'm giving you some input that you can consider with the start of the new system. Thank you for listening to me. Have a good day. I see you soon. Bye bye.